Good, amen. All the time, he is. I love it when holiday season comes, and I love it when we get through holiday season too. Anyone have that feeling? It's good to see holidays come, and it's good to see them go. I don't know about you, I've always said that about little kids, how they need a pattern to stay on track. So do I, and I'm not a little kid. But it is good. We've had good holidays. It's good to see family and friends. And in case you didn't notice, we've got Zach here with us today. Stand up and say hi, Zach. Oh, you can stand up. I'll talk to you later. He's got good news coming, too. You're here next week, aren't you? All right. If you have your Bibles today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at dysfunction. And we're going to talk about, really with dysfunction, we have a choice. And I've actually broken this message into a couple ones because there's a lot with it. But it's powerful, and there's some things we need to understand about dysfunction. And today we're going to talk about breaking it or passing it on. And then next week I'm going to talk about the process of seeing the change happen. So in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, I just pulled this verse out to start with. It says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." Listen, God is a God of order. He's a God of function. He's a God where how many know that there's nothing wrong in God? Everything in him is right. All the time. Every day. There's no flaw in him. There's no sin in him. And the same way that God is a God of order, he calls us to order. He calls us to function. In fact, the purpose of being saved and born again is that we come into that what God has us to become. And we're going to look at that today. don't raise your hands. Before I even define dysfunction, how many of you here, being around family, have noticed dysfunction in your family yourself? And that's just your spouse. But I'm talking about take it out farther, and it gets even farther, doesn't it? Anybody here have a weird cousin or uncle or someone? You're like, oh. But anyways, I wanted to start off defining dysfunction. Dysfunction means, when I looked at the dictionary, I looked at Webster's and a couple other ones, but they all pretty much have the same definition. It means impaired or abnormal functioning, abnormal or unhealthy behavior or interaction. Another word for it is malfunction. Listen, when your computer freezes up on you, which this is what happens to all computers at a certain age, they freeze on you. Anybody have good times with your computer? I've had a couple that I almost shot. But every couple seconds, if your computer begins to freeze, what's happening is it's dysfunctioning. And the same way that it dysfunction, what a dysfunction really is it's not functioning the way it's purposed to function. When I turn on my computer, my windows, what should happen? They should open up, right? The same is true with us. In fact, here's a verse in Psalms 139 and verse 14. We need to understand that God created us with a purpose. In verse 14, it says, "I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when I was yet none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them." Listen, God created us for a purpose, didn't he? He created us, really, what, in his image to do things that he does. And we've been through different teaching on that. And what a dysfunction is when we begin to operate in things that are not the plan, that are not the purposes of God. When I begin to do things that are not God. And I'm going to get more into details to go through things. And here's why understanding dysfunction is important. Is that anybody here have a friend who's always happy and all of a sudden one day they're angry? They're dysfunctioning. But that's not a pattern in their life. We all sin, right? We all mess up. We do things wrong. And something isn't functioning right. I'm off kilter with God. I'm out of pace with God. And if we're not careful, what happens is that those dysfunctions become bondages. If I choose to do something enough, it becomes a bondage in my life. And next thing you know, I'm not just falling apart one time. I can't help it. I'm here all the time. When you're little, how many parents here have come to the realization that even though you love your child, they do lie? If not, God will give you that revelation. Just give it time. Okay? And there's something about when you're little, everyone has lied. But if you choose to follow a pattern of constantly lying and lying and lying, the day will come where you can't tell the truth. Your dysfunction has now become a bondage in your life. And what happens is that if you don't deal with dysfunction in your life, it can become a bondage. And that bondage, what it will do is it will pull you out of the destiny that God has for you. I love that song that we sang today, that the one about the glory of the Lord. Here's the hope of glory is what? Christ in you. What is Christ? Christ says, here's my glory. When the Christ inside a sigh becomes everything I want him to be, that's my glory in the earth. That's God's glory. Why? Because that's why he made you. It's something where he says, yes, it works. It works, it works. And we need to begin to evaluate and look at our life, because here's what I'm telling you, is that if we allow dysfunction to continue, we have two choices. I can either change that dysfunction or I can pass it on to the ones coming after me. And I'm going to look at some serious things in this, because it's more serious than people give it credit for. It doesn't just affect my life, but it also goes on even farther. Now, the first step in dealing with dysfunction is that we need to admit that it's there. We need to be able to admit it and ask God forgiveness. Too many times, it's easy to get caught up in doing things wrong and what? Making an excuse for it. Well, I act that way. Why? Because that's my dad always did it, and that's what grandpa always did. Hey, quit making excuses. Why do you do it? Well, that's just the way we do it. When Jackie got married into our family, she had an awakening of stern revelation. And when we first got together, we actually teased each other to such a point that Jackie was like, ah. And it's, well, that's just the way we do it. And Jackie's like, you don't do it that way with me. And so I had to have a Jackie revelation and come back into the relationship and say, I'm going to do things differently, instead of saying, well, that's just the way we do it. That really didn't work. What happened is that there was a rift, because if I start teasing Jackie that way, it didn't turn out so well. I could tease Caleb all day and he just kind of smiles. Not Jackie. Here's the thing. When it comes to God and walking in his fullness, that's what we do sometimes, is we make excuses for sin. It's okay to do that sin because God's okay with it, and the truth is God ain't okay with it. It hurts our relationship at times and keeps us separate. I can live one way in church and I can go out there and live a different way. That will mess up your walk with Christ. It'll mess up the blessing of God. It'll mess up the destiny of God. Many are called and few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Because few will actually change and become like God. And the other ones, they're called, but they're too busy making excuses for their sin and following their sin instead of following God. Amen, Pastor. And it's easy to do. Well, I'm not on fire because I've got this. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. Hey, whatever's holding you back, it's a dysfunction. Quit making excuses for the thing and call it sin. Quit making excuses for it. Well, I feel bad. Well, repent for your feelings and God will help you get over them. Amen. That should be a major point. Repent for feelings. Repent for following them. Why? Because they mess you up all the time. Your feelings are not your friend. Your feelings must submit to Christ. Not you submit to your feelings. There's a difference. And if we want to come into the destiny God has for us, we have to get to a place and say, hey, I'm going to get over this deal. I'm going to do something different. This thing isn't going to be constantly doing that in my life. And I'm going to look a little bit what dysfunction looks like here, because I want to give a couple examples. The first thing we need to do when we look at dysfunction is we need to look at what function really is. Because once you see the original, it's easy to spot the things that are counterfeit. In fact, that's the way, and some of you have heard that illustration. A lot of bank tellers are taught how to spot a fake dollar, $100 bill. Why? Because they've studied the real one. And so the real one, if you, in your Bible, I'll be reading from Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Listen, if you're functioning in God, there's a righteousness of God functioning in your life. If you're functioning in God, there's a rightness. It's right in God's eyes. That's righteousness. There's a joy that begins to come in your life. If you're always gloomy Gus, you're dysfunctioning. If you're always wanting to do what's right but doing what's wrong, you're dysfunctioning. And if you're in a place where peace is there, then you're functioning. But if you're in a place where you're tormented all the time, listen, this is not what it is to be a Christian, to be tormented. That's not to be a Christian. To always be down and negative and gloomy, that's not a Christian. Why? Because if it is a Christian, you're a dysfunctioning Christian, and you got to get a hold of that deal and come back into what God says. Here's what God says. If you're in me, you're in my kingdom. What is my kingdom? It's rightness. It's joy and it's peace. That's what it looks like. And in my life, if I don't have those things, then something isn't functioning right. Something is not coming in line with Christ. Now, dysfunction, it looks like the opposite of the verse we read. Put up that, Harry's got this slide for me. Here's a couple examples: fear, anger, frustration, failure, laziness, selfishness, broken relationship, addictions, hurting others. It can be health problems. I'm spiritually have a shaky spiritual life. Basically, it's doing the opposite of what the kingdom is. And here's the thing. When I'm functioning, that means I'm walking with God. And too many times we think dysfunctional is like, well, that guy's a dysfunctional drug addict. Well, that's just one dysfunction. Sometimes being lazy is a dysfunction. Sometimes overdoing it is a dysfunction. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Overdoing it is just as bad as being lazy. You're out of kilter. You're off balance. See, God did not make you to be off balance. He did not make you to be dysfunctional. He made you to function in who He is. There's something about, I don't know about you, but I love when you have a vehicle and it runs right. How about you? I like it when you turn the key, it sounds right. And it's just a good feeling for me. But when it starts doing that thing, when you start it, it goes, I don't like that. But sometimes that's the way we go through life. It's putting through life, spitting and sputtering. Well, we need to get back to God's shop and get things right in our life. So we run the way we're supposed to run. See, there's a verse that says, "They who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagle. They'll run and not be weary. And they'll walk and they'll not faint." We're just saying, listen, there's something about when you and God connect, there's something that you'll begin to function in your life. But that only comes as we connect with Him. We've got to get to the place where we're connected to Him. Dysfunction can be so many things. Anytime it is not righteousness, joy, and peace, anything that produces something other than that, something's dysfunctioning. Something is wrong. Now, understand, all believers have dysfunction in their life. You're going to deal with this your whole life. I'll give you a good example of that. And I want you to understand that, because we'll get into process next week. But understand, just because you have issues doesn't mean you're disqualified. Okay? Oh, phew, oh, that's a break. I thought I was going to have to sit out for a while. King David, he had some dysfunction going on. King David is my favorite Old Testament character there is. I love King David. I love the fact that he was a man. And I love the fact that he overdid it, because I've overdo things at times. And I love some of the things in him. And God called him a man after his own heart. God called him that, a man after my own heart. But you know what? David had dysfunctional problems in his life. He had them with the way he raised his kids. Well, that turned out pretty bad. In fact, one time he seen a woman that was married to someone else, and he says, "I want her." He slept with a woman out of marriage. Or he was the wrong marriage. And then after he got her pregnant, he's like, "Well, I got to cover this up, so I'm going to send her husband into the battle. I'm going to put him out front." And when he gets into battle, we're going to pull back and let him get killed, so that way I ain't got to worry about taking her for my wife. How many know that's kind of dysfunctional? I mean, how many know that's not even really spiritual? That's just right. Here's what we call dysfunctional. Sin. Okay? I had a friend of mine tell me that one time. He has a doctorate degree, and he was talking to me about things. He's like, I'm trying to explain what's going on with me. What do you call that? And he was talking about being proud in his life. I said, well, you call that sin. Well, no. I said, no, you call it what it is. It's sin. If you're doing something wrong, it's sin. If there's something that's dysfunctioning in your life, it's because sin is present. Sin is the absence of God. Sin is not the opposite of God. God is not in that part of my life. I'm running that part of my life. My feelings are running that part of my life. My philosophies are running that part of my life, but God's not. God's word is not. I'm not submitted to him in that area. So God is not there. That is an area of sin in our life. See, we're supposed to be, what, filled with him to overflowing? Isn't that how the verses go? There'll be rivers of living water. You have so much of the water of life in you that there'll be like a river flowing through you. Not just enough to barely make it week to week, but a filling. And so sin, we have to call it what it is. And David did, and so do we. Here's a couple scriptures. in John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, I want to talk to us about being in a place where we begin to admit things and repent of them. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. To take the things that are wrong and to wipe them away, and now you walk in the righteousness in his kingdom. So here's the thing, is somewhere, if we want to get free from dysfunction, admit it. Everybody knows it. We're in Kirksville again. Everybody knows there's something wrong. You might as well admit it and say, I'm wrong. God, forgive me. And he is faithful. And there's another verse in there in James 5, verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here's another part. It also tells you what? Not only to confess it before God, but you know, there's a place to confess it before men that brings healing. This is a hard one. Here's the thing about King David. And this is why I love looking at his life, is when King David had sinned and this happened to him and his child was going to die. It was a serious deal. And King David was in prayer. You know, he didn't hide it from everybody. He didn't say, okay, we've got to keep this on the down low. No one can know that I'm wrong. David's like, I'm wrong, and I'm repenting in front of God and everybody. And he wasn't ashamed. Here's the truth. I've been wrong in so many things in my life, it'd take a long time to go through them. But I ain't got to hide them. Why? Because Jesus Christ forgives me and cleanses me and makes me into a new person. And part of that process is I don't have to hide it from anybody else. Isn't that good? I don't have to hide it from anybody. That part of confessing things is quit trying to hide them. No excuses to God or men, but I need to change something. Here's something important to understand about this process. Is to understand some of the consequences that come with it. Listen, when I'm in a place of dysfunction, and like we've been talking about, it pulls me out of God's kingdom. If I'm in a place, let's say I'm offended. This is a prime one. If you haven't been offended, you probably will. You may even today. You may even by me. That's happened as well. I've offended as many people as I help sometimes. But a lot of times, that ain't my issue. That's your issue. Amen. That might just offend somebody right there. But if I choose, only way I'm offended is when I choose to be offended. And it is my sin. It is not your sin. It is my sin. That's why I say that. When I'm offended, it's because I am in sin. I am out of step with God. I am dysfunctional. And I'm not functioning the way God made me to function. And so if I have offense in my life, I'm over here and I'm all messed up. And I'm in a place where I'm wrestling with this deal back and forth because, man, offense gets to be something hard. You ever find when you're in that place it's hard to pray for someone else? It's even hard to love some people. In fact, the pastor says, do you have a testimony to give? Usually your answer is not right now. I'm too busy living in my dysfunction. Ooh, I like that one. I'll have to use that one as someone else later. So what's the dysfunction? Let's work on that, and then you'll have a great testimony. It pulls you away from God. All of a sudden, that God who I could touch and I could feel and begin to lead and guide me, and I could begin to see and have, he begin to impact my life, all of a sudden, he's not impacting my life. Why? Because I'm over here offended. Or I live two different lifestyles. That's another one. I live one lifestyle in church and one lifestyle out there. I begin to, hey, that's the new fad, by the way, of the world, not of Christ. The world says you can serve God a little when you want to and he'll be there to help you, but you can live however you want to live out there. You know what happens when you live that way? You're living in dysfunction, and what happens is that you do not have that close, amazing relationship with God that you could have. You might touch him at times, but you don't walk with him. You don't experience his blessing on a level. You don't experience a relationship on a level of depth in God. Where function we do. Listen, that's how it affects us every day, but it also affects us in the future. I want to read this verse in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." This is a great verse. Because what it talks about if I begin, because I'm gonna break down, let's go back to dysfunction. Dysfunction is sin. If I choose to do opposite of God, I can go back to the scripture and show you where those who love God obey him and those who hate him don't. That's pretty strong words. I'm glad it's not mine, it's really Jesus's. That's God's words. So what happens is if I choose to live in dysfunction and don't deal with it, I'll pass it down. The third and fourth generation. And you can see that in the Bible. Look at families in the Bible. You'll see it. You'll see in Abraham's family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all had a problem with lying and being strong men in their family. The same sin, what it just passed down. And you see that, begin to wrestle with that. And here's the thing. In your life, you have the option to just go with the flow or break that thing over your life. My mom and she, sometime I like her to preach and share her testimony on stuff, if I could have her do it. She came out of a mess. She came out of like one of the biggest messes you could think of. There was everything wrong in that family that could be wrong. There was everything vile and awful that could be. But you know what happened? As a 12-year-old kid, she began to say, "I will not live this way." And she gave her heart to Jesus and said, "I will follow him and I will have a home one day where we serve God and we don't have these things messing up our life." You have that option to break dysfunction in your family. And that'll pass down for what, 1,000 generations? That's quite a bit. It's amazing how that works. Here's an article that I found that was really pretty interesting to me. In 1874, in the New York State Prison, part of the board that was over the prison noticed that they had six inmates that all had the same last name. They were all related. And it began to get them to think, and what they did is they began to do a search and go back over their genealogy, and they went back a couple generations to see where some of this problem had started. And what they did is they traced it back to a man who was born in 1720, and this man was known for being lazy, godless. He was known for being a town troublemaker. He was an alcoholic and had a very low moral character. And what he did is he found a woman who was just like him, and they got married, and they went on to have six daughters and two sons. Now, back in 1874, they found 1,200 descendants of this couple. Now, here's what they found. They found 310 were homeless. They found 160 were prostitutes. They found 180 had suffered from alcohol and drug abuse. They found 150 criminals who had spent time in prison, seven of them for murder. And when they begin to look at the grander scheme, the state of New York had spent $1.5 million, which was a lot more back in that period, that much alone dealing with this family. That's a lot of money. That's still a lot of money now, but back then that's an amazing amount. And what they found is that they could not find one single person who had made a contribution to anybody in their life. Whew. That's crazy. Now what they did is when they began to look at that, they said, well, let's go look at some other things. And so they went back in history a little bit, and they found another man around that area. His name was Jonathan Edwards, who was born in 1703. And some of you know him. He's a renowned preacher. And Jonathan Edwards was a preacher, and he married a spiritual gal who loved the Lord. Her name was Sarah, and they had godly values. They had 11 children. Eventually, Jonathan Edwards became the first president of Princeton University. And what they did is they discovered in 1874 that he had 1,400 descendants. And here's what they found. There were 13 who were college presidents. There were 65 who were college professors. There was 100 who were attorneys, 32 who were state judges, 85 who were authors of classic books, 66 who were physicians, 80 that held political offices, including 3 state governors, 3 were state senators, and 1 became vice president of the United States. Here's what we do in our life. We make the decision what we're going to pass on. There's an old saying, you can only produce who you are. And if I'm a believer who's a half-hearted believer, guess what I'm passing to my kids? If I'm a believer who believes in Jesus Christ and nothing else, guess what? You pass that to your kids. And it changes something. You know the difference between this man who was just such a mess and had all this family that was a mess? The difference between him and Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards came to a changing point in his life where he said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to surrender my life to his life, and I'm going to start functioning the way God wants me to function. When you read some of Jonathan Edwards' stuff, he talks about how he wrestles deeply and severely through some of his high school and college years on whether to serve Christ or not. He wrestled and he wrestled, but he came to the thing that I am not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. And I'm going to tell other people that they can be what God wants them to be. What a powerful legacy he's had. But his legacy is not how good he was. His legacy was that I came in line with God and God has blessed me for 1,000 generations. That's his legacy. When we play with things, I want us to understand this, the seriousness of this. When we play with things, those very things, I don't care how much you might hide them, our children will have to deal with them if we don't. And our grandkids will, and their kids will. It's just true. I don't care what kind of dysfunction it is. I don't care if it's a bad attitude where you're constantly complaining. I don't care if it's where you got secret sin you're hiding. It'll still continue on the same path. Somewhere when we come to Christ, he says, it talks about how all things become new. That's God's plan. All things become new in our life, not just some. Not just some. All things, but I like to lie when I need to get my way. No, all things. All things, but that thing I don't want to tell nobody about. No, that passes on. Listen, God, Christ in us is the hope of glory. What does that mean? Christ in me. Here's the hope of glory, that the Christ in me, I can do all things and I can break these things in my life and I can reveal the glory of God through my life today and for 1,000 generations down the road. That's the glory of God. The glory of God just ain't today, but it follows. See, the consequences of understanding dysfunction are quite a bit. But there's something that is very, very real about it that we need to pay attention to. And how we begin to take the first steps to do that is that we have to come to the place where we begin to look at some things in our life and say, I got to do something different. I've got to do something different. I've got to change what's in here. And here's the thing. On little things or big things, I don't want my kids wrestling with things that I never dealt with. How about you? things that I make excuses for. And here's how it starts. And we're going to get more into the process next week, but here's how it starts. Is that I don't care if it's big things or little things. If you're someone who is constantly working and you're constantly pushing all the time, you're off base. Get right. Amen. Hey, there's something wrong when you don't take a day off. Did you know that? God created a day off. He didn't do it because he was tired. He did it because we need it. God created a lot of things. And somewhere we've got to quit making excuses and say, God, I want what you want. This is in my life, and I might not even know how to change it, but you do. I don't have enough strength to change it. Listen, here's another one. Overeating all the time. How many know that ain't good? Here's the dysfunction, overeating. Here's another dysfunction, undereating. I've never had that dysfunction. I don't even understand it. It's like foreign to me. I don't even know how that could be. I don't even know what's wrong with them. But overeating can be a problem too. Hey, I know some people who will constantly kill themselves to stay so skinny that eventually it hurts their body just as bad as other ones. Hey, there's a healthy place, but somewhere, instead of me being driven by fear, I need to be walking in the rightness of God, in his righteousness, in what he has. Listen, laziness is sin. Just the same as the other one. If you're lazy, well, I don't do stuff just because that, well, ask God, say, God, forgive me for being lazy, especially when it comes to following you. Forgive me for that. Help me. Help me know you. See, dysfunction can be a lot of things. How you treat your spouse sometimes is dysfunctional. Listen, you should honor each other. Amen? And if you don't, there's something dysfunctional there, and you will pass that to your kids. If you're yelling at your spouse, you need to get right with Jesus, man or woman. Amen? Why? Because it's a dysfunction, and we will pass that on, that same dishonor, disrespect, we will pass on and teach it to our kids. Or we'll do the opposite, teach them honor. At our house, Aubrey's always such a joy. But if she gets to disrespecting grandma, grandpa steps in, and I'm teaching her how to respect grandma. Why? Because I want her to grow up knowing that when she runs into a man, that there should be a man who respects her, not just treats her however she wants to. Something to that, isn't it? Are we walking in the rightness of God? Are we walking in the joy of God? Are we walking in the peace of God? That's how we know we're functioning. Amen? Let's all stand. Here's another dysfunction too. I'll sort it out there while I'm thinking. Trying to fix somebody else all the time. Why? Because it don't work and it never produces joy and happiness. Or any peace, really. Listen, God wants us to become who he wants us to become. Amen? And that should look a lot like him. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even as we begin to look at some things today, God, that you just speak to us what you want to say to us. God, if there's areas in our life that aren't working right, that aren't in line with you, God, I pray that you show us those things and you help us to overcome them. God, I pray that you just show us where we're wrong. Like David prayed, God, if there's anything that's wrong, any secret sin, any sin I don't know about even, God, show it to me that I can repent of it and I can walk right with you and I can teach others the same. God, I pray that you be with us, Lord, as we go on this week and you help us, you draw us in closer to you. I pray that throughout this church that you bring things into such alignment with you that we begin to hear you more clear, we begin to touch you easier, we begin to walk with you and talk with you as we go about our days. Lord, I just pray that in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that there just be a blessing over this church, that you just bless ones. Stir them up by your Spirit. Give them the things that they need this week. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.